There is a sermon time activity for kids through the age of 5. If you'd like to send them downstairs for that now, you can. If you'd like for your children to stay with us and worship, of course, they're always welcome to do that as well. Our passage for this morning is in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is writing to a young group of Christians, people who are very new to the faith. And in our passage for this morning, he's writing to them and telling them what it is that he prays for them. And we're going to read Ephesians 1. Verses 15 through 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray that always, but perhaps especially on this morning when we mark the resurrection of our Lord, that we may know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Show us the incredible power and hope of the resurrection. Let that same power and hope live within us. So open your word to us this morning, we pray, and show us your Son Jesus and the incredible good news that it is that he is risen from the dead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week I spent a little bit of time thinking about and learning about Easter customs from around the world, what it looks like in different places around the globe for people to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And I was thinking about it because I suppose to us it's not all that strange, but it is a little bit strange that we have these traditions here of decorating and exchanging eggs, or maybe hiding them for children to find, and exchanging chocolates and things like that as a celebration of the resurrection. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's a little bit strange. It might be hard to see the connection between resurrection and colored eggs. But in reading, it was interesting. Such customs have been around for a long time, even in the ancient church. Eggs would be dyed red to symbolize Jesus' blood and his death, and the egg itself was understood to be symbolic of resurrection, even though egg is a little dormant, quiet thing, much like the grave was on Saturday. Within it, there is new life, much like the resurrection. Through most of Europe, there's some sort of variation, usually, on the exchange of eggs. There are odd customs involving gently whipping others with soft ribbons in exchange for colored eggs. In other places, they sprinkle water on each other and then exchange eggs. In some places, lighting great fires is an Easter tradition. In Poland, you might eat white sausage and cake. In northern Germany, you might have a special festive kind of raisin bread. In Russia, you might have red eggs and special kinds of bread and cheese. In Greece, you might have a stew of lamb liver and greens. I'm okay not having a lamb liver stew. Just about everywhere you go in the world where there are Christians, they will have special, and maybe sometimes a little bit odd, traditions to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Why? Here in Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul says it's because the resurrection is the greatest demonstration of God's power that there is. There is incredible power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He prays that the Christians may know what is the hope to which they have been called and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul calls the resurrection the working of God's great might. Why is it that? According to probably Ben Franklin, what are the only two certain things in life? Death and taxes, right? Now, they're certain because they're going to happen, and once they happen, they don't unhappen, right? Well, almost. Though it's a rarity, right, governments will sometimes reduce or eliminate taxes. Almost never, but sometimes. But death is even more permanent than taxes, and even more certain. In many ways, death is the most ultimate thing of all the things that are wrong with our world. A world plunged into sin and chaos and misery near its beginning, death is the poster child of what that world now looks like because of its destructive effects. Other things go wrong, but they can be fixed at least temporarily a little bit. If someone wrongs you, you can forgive them. If someone gets sick, it's possible that drugs or medical treatment can cure it. If someone gets injured, it can be healed over time. If something is stolen from you, it can be returned or replaced. If someone is harsh with you, someone else can speak comfort. But when we die, there's no coming back from it. In the present state of things, death is the greatest of things wrong with our world. It takes a life, it causes grief, it separates loved ones, and it's an evil thing without any remedy, at least seemingly so. At least it had no remedy until Jesus. But when Jesus died, as we marked on Friday, then spent parts of 3 days in the grave, and then was raised back to life, it undid the most permanent evil thing that we know of. It fixed the unfixable. It healed the unhealable, and it reversed the irreversible. The whole of the Bible tells us a story about a world made in perfect peace and harmony by its Maker, and of people put here in order to live peacefully with him and with each other. But that was disrupted by our own corruption, by humanity's own corruption. We've wandered away from what our Creator made us to be, so that pain and suffering and illness and injury and death have become mainstays of our existence. But God sent his Son into the world to undo and restore everything that had gone wrong. He came to live a perfect life of love for God and for others, which we have never been able to do, which he did perfectly. He came to go to a cross which he didn't deserve, but to die there in the place of sinners like us so that our sins can be forgiven. And he was risen to new life to restore our hearts and our wills to love others and to give us eternal life, to give us life beyond death as well. To forgive sins and restore our hearts and wills to love others, to bind up wounds and wipe away tears. And one day, the New Testament tells us, the promise is that he will restore this world to a place of peace and harmony again. The kind of place it was meant to be, and that this new reality will go on forever and ever. But something as wonderful and hopeful as that could only ever be if death could give way to life, if death could be reversed, if it could be undone, if death would cease to be, if the most permanent evil thing that happens could be undone, if the very saddest thing that this world has to offer could become untrue. And on Easter morning, when Jesus' disciples, several women, arrived at his tomb and found that the stone was rolled away and found that the dead body that had been placed there on Friday was now returned to life, and with angels sitting there announcing the event to them, with grave clothes lying there without any body within them, the permanency of death was cut short. Even death could be undone, and even death could be conquered. In all the wondrous inventions and technologies and advances that science and innovation have brought us, we still all die. So it is a working of the great might that only God possesses when death works backwards and life emerges from the grave. Which means this morning we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead, and with that we celebrate that all those things of a world restored to perfect eternal peace, of our sins forgiven, of our hearts put right, and of the promise of eternal life, that all of those things are going to happen, can happen, and will happen, because the power of God is greater even than death. And what Paul says in verse 19 is that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you too. That we would know the great might of what he is doing in us according to the great power that raised Jesus from the dead. The point that Paul makes here is the same one that he makes in several other places in the New Testament, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is also at work in you. In Romans 8, he says that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead also dwells in you if you believe in Jesus. In Romans 6, he says that if we have been united to Jesus in baptism, just as he rose from the dead, we should also walk in newness of life. And in Colossians chapter 3, he says a few other things as well. In verse 1, he says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is." And then he goes on to explain what that looks like. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. And he says that looks like this: compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving each other, thankfulness, peaceableness, and worship. On Friday, we talked about the weakness and foolishness of Jesus dying on the cross, and that believing in a Christ who went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins meant that we needed to be weak and foolish too, at least weak and foolish according to our natures, according to what we naturally want, according to the wisdom and strength of the world. And that weakness looked like confessing our sins, forgiving others, humility, service, empathy with our neighbors. Which is to say, it looks an awful lot like what Paul says it looks like to live according to the resurrection of Jesus. And when we talked about this on Friday, we said that it's a hard calling, that it's easier to look out for number one, and to project competence and power all of the time, and to care about externals more than true love for God or for others. It's a hard calling. And so the truth that the power of the resurrection, that the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is also at work in you, means this: we serve a crucified Christ, and the truest and most beautiful witness to him is in our own weakness, in confession and forgiveness and humility and patience and love for neighbor. And we serve a risen Christ, and the power that raised him from the dead is at work in you to empower and bless and use your weakness to bring glory to God and love to those around you. Good Friday gives us a difficult calling, and Easter Sunday provides the power to carry it out. In your foolishness, you bear witness to a strong Christ who has power over even death. And if death can be undone, then so can everything wrong with this world. That's the hope of the whole world. It's the hope of Easter Sunday. It's the hope we can only have because the resurrection is true, because Christ is risen from the dead. And since it's true, you can live in this world foolishly and weakly, because in truth, such foolishness is wise, and such weakness is strength, because it testifies to the Christ who died and rose again. Happy Easter. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It is the power of God that rules over life and death and everlasting life. Thank you for the strong and comforting truth of the resurrection of Jesus, that because of it, we can know and believe that through faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and that eternal life and an eternal world made right of perfect peace and harmony with each other and with you is coming. Let that hope be clear in our lives. Let it speak to our hearts every day. Lord, make us a people of the cross and a people of the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. We are coming to celebrate the